Welcome to part 2 of our conversation with Greg Ludwig about Hollywood Forever. From your interactions there, do you feel that the spirits are able to engage with one another? Like, can Julie Garland go have a conversation with Johnny Ramone? Are they all hanging out together? What's your thoughts there?
This is great that you just asked that question. Okay. Mm-hmm. Faye Ray. Okay. Mm-hmm. She was the bombshell actress that was King Kong's first love interest in the very first King Kong. Okay. Mm-hmm. Famous actress in her day. And Faye Ray, you know, I'm communicating with her and she said, you know, Faye, I said, so she said her name and then she said, and this was just after I was over with Johnny Ramone, okay, and had great communication with Johnny Ramone. Mm-hmm. And it was right after that I can go over there and talk to her. She said, Faye, and then she said, where's Johnny? So I think something tells me Johnny Ramone, you know, he's a player around that facility. So
that would make Johnny Ramone be going. So we're assuming that Johnny Ramone is going back in time, then, I'm guessing, to a younger version of Faye Ray.
Well, you know what? You know what? Who knows? Who knows what they look like?
Or does it matter at that point?
In their current condition, right?
Is that more much more an earthly thought than it is one that spirits abide by?
Exactly.
Are the spirits in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, are they more eager to communicate than just say, you know, Rest Haven Cemetery down the road or something that's just like not celebrities, simply because of the mode that these people were in most of their lives? They were seeking spotlight. So you naturally kind of have a group of people that would go above and beyond to get into spotlight. Is that still the case in death?
Yes, and I would think that that would be the case. You know, I mean, look, I go to other cemeteries, and the funny thing is, I'm not really like a huge. I wasn't really a huge cemetery guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, it was my publicist that said, "Hey, we got to start going to these cemeteries." You know,
sure.
So okay, and sure enough, you know, we started getting the communication and at other places as well, you know. But I think you're right in the sense that they're looking for the attention still. They probably get a lot more. They get more attention than just people, right?
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, go up to somebody that's been, you know, been dead for, you know, 70, 80 years, you know, and nobody's ever tried to communicate with them. Nobody. Mm-hmm. And so maybe reaching out to them is a little harder, you know, because they're not looking for anybody to reach out to them, like maybe Judy Garland would be.
Sure.
So, you know, I think there's definitely validity to the fact that, yeah, they're, you know, they're attention hogs, right? Mm-hmm.
Have there been any celebrities that you've tried to communicate with in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery but don't seem to get a response from?
Yes, this was interesting. And I got it. I'm going to talk to you also right after that about James Michael Tyler, who played Gunther on the show Friends.
Okay.
But first, Bugsy Siegel, mm-hmm, is there.
Okay.
And we go to Bugsy Siegel. This is right after, I think we had some communications with Judy Garland, and then we went to Still, and then we decided to go over to Bugsy Siegel. And nothing, just white noise. No matter how much I tried, got nothing, not a sound from that guy. And, you know, the joke was made, well, sure, of course you didn't get anything from that guy. He's, you know, he's a bad man. He's in another place. He can't communicate.
Sure.
And I thought, well, you know what? You know, that is an interesting thought, mm-hmm, you know, that maybe he can't. Maybe he isn't allowed there.
Yeah.
And so he can't communicate. But one So to answer your question, yeah, pretty much just him. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that I've not had communication with, that I've tried.
Interesting.
But you also have to be a little bit careful. You don't want to go visit these people when they're, you know, and I kind of learned a lesson. Okay. You know, when they're still fresh, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So going over to Gunther, mm-hmm. you know, from France, you know,
yeah.
I walked up and it was very fresh, very, very fresh. No headstone or anything. Just a little, a sign posted and, you know, who it was, you know, and I start talking to him and this really stunk because this was at the same time when she had left and I was doing it by myself. Mm-hmm. And I swear I hit record on my phone. And sadly, this one has to unfortunately be hearsay.
Okay.
Okay. But I introduced myself. Hey, I'm Ghost Inspector Greg. You know, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. He says, "Go away." I said, "Wow." And I'm just, you know, trying to ask more questions. And he says, "Just leave." And I'm like, "Wow, you know, you're not very happy to be here, are you?" Mm-hmm. You know, and whatnot. And he says, "Get the hell out of here."
So he just it was very consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. He did not want me by him.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I can't hear it, I don't know the exact, you know, those words are very similar to what the exchange was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was excited about it only to look down and see that
nothing.
That for some reason wasn't recorded. But I learned a lesson from that, you know, give them time to get comfortable, I guess you could say.
Sure.
Right. And in that case, I did not. So anyway, a little bit of a lesson learned.
Sure. Have you ever attempted to go and visit the grave of a celebrity that after their death controversy has arisen about, or maybe even during their life, there's controversy about, and tried to get a comment or something? I mean, the one that comes to mind right away would be Michael Jackson.
Okay, well, I haven't gone there, and here's the problem with Michael Jackson and some of the celebrities. They're at Forest Lawn. And
oh, okay.
Forest
yeah.
And Forest Lawn is very, very strict against, you know, like Hollywood Forever Cemetery welcomes mm-hmm. what I do. Okay,
yeah.
Or you know, they will run you off of the forest out of Forest Lawn.
Okay,
they have guards, actually. So I haven't. I'm going to try, okay? Because I got to be honest with you, I have not tried, but I am going to try to get up to Michael Jackson and a couple others that are over at Forest Lawn. It's a massive place, so, but I'm going to try it.
Is that something where anyone can just go in and go visit the grave?
Well, I think it's, I don't think you can get within a certain number of feet of it.
Yeah.
And again, I believe there's somebody there, you know, guarding.
Yeah.
So, because they don't want people to mess around, you know.
Interesting. Like so you could get in, but if they start noticing that you're doing more than just, you know, gawking, I guess for lack of a better term, they kind of, you know, turn on the lights and say, "Hey, this is not what you do here."
Yeah, and apparently they literally will run you right out of it.
Wow. Tell me more. Tell me more about because we're starting to run short on time here. But I really wanted to ask about Annabelle's Curse and your experience there with the museum and such.
Certainly.
So what was Annabelle's Curse? Is that what you were brought in to take a look at, or was it more the museum? Tell me more about that whole experience.
Well, Annabelle's Curse was just the episode.
Title,
it was
yeah.
Halloween, yep. It was a Halloween episode.
Sure.
And Annabelle was brought to the museum.
The original, the real one?
Yes, the
okay.
real one.
Okay.
And, you know, Zach Bagans during filming, you know, reached out and touched Annabelle's foot when he was told absolutely, you know, not mm-hmm. to do so. And you know, then he fist bumped me with the same hand. So I'm really happy about that. But, mm-hmm. But anyway, they really whipped up energy over that whole week in preparation for our investigation. And how that transpired was, I love Las Vegas. And we were there at the Mandalay Bay, staying there for a few days. And one of my kids was off on a honeymoon, and my other two were, you know, were with us. And I just, you know, my daughter wanted to go to the World of Cokes. My son wanted to go to the Stratosphere and go on the rides in 114 degree temperature, for crying out loud. And I said, okay, we'll go do that. But we also, I want to stop by, you know, the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum, which wasn't going to be opened for at least another 3 months.
Yeah. Okay?
But I wanted to go there. So we go do the Coke thing, and we go to the Stratosphere, and then on the way back, we stop by the museum. And it was all chained up really good with, you know, and they had, you know, tall metal fence with spikes, and there was nobody there, nobody at the property. Buddy had a couple things out. He had this like little circus cage thing out. He had a couple of gargoyles, and they had a tree kind of towards in the front that had a bunch of these clown dolls stuffed in it, creepy looking clown dolls. And which was later, you know, given the name as the clown tree.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's what I called it. Eventually he called it that too. So I took a couple pictures. All right. And took a picture of the clown tree and whatnot. And I got to tell you, Tony, there was something in that building.
Yeah.
That building, it's a huge house, basically. Mm-hmm. And something was watching us. And I'll say me specifically, because my kids, they were unaware of any of that. But something was there staring at me. And I was staring back, and I'm like, there's nobody here, but something is staring at me. And anyway, then we very eerie feeling, we ended up leaving, and we went back to the Mandalay Bay. And, you know, it takes about a good 20 minutes to get there from there.
Sure.
And went back, had dinner at a great restaurant, and then that was Bobby Flay's Mesa Grill, which he's now changed to Fish. So I'm really disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. And then, you know, they all went upstairs, and I went down, and I was playing some blackjack, drinking my vodka and cranberry. And I went back upstairs and laid down. And then all of a sudden at 1 o'clock in the morning, I get an alert. It says, your friends liked the picture that you posted on Facebook. And I'm like, now understand something, Tony, you can look even now. I don't post on Facebook.
Yeah.
My platform is Instagram. I got like 4,400 friends on Facebook, but I don't really use the platform too much. I may be starting here pretty quick, but I just don't. But everything's over on Instagram. So my friends like this is the Facebook post. So I click on it, and it says, it says that these two guys, Ron and Jose, guys that I haven't talked to in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they like a picture you posted on Facebook. So I open up the post, and I'll be darned, it was the picture of the clown tree. But here's the thing, Tony, it had a caption on it. It said, you can call it.
That's it. You can call it.
You can call it.
Yeah.
And it's funny because a lot of people thought, oh, are you doing some promo for the movie It? Because the movie It was coming out just a couple months later. Right?
Sure.
This has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Right. I said, you can call it. And I saw that, and I was freaked out by it. And I tossed my phone to the edge of the bed. And right then it was, my wife got up, got a drink of water. She was in the bed, the other bed with my daughter. She had a drink of water. And right then the door handle of my room just shook violently. And she says, someone's trying to break into our room.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, shh, shh. And then it stopped. And then there was not another sound. and there was no doors opening and closing, no voices in the hall, no footsteps, nothing. Even outside was strangely quiet, and there was no more sound. And so I just said to myself, well, I'll be a son of a gun. And so the next morning I talked to my kids. Hey, you guys didn't somehow get into my phone and post it, did you? And they said, no, you know, you had your phone, right? And so I'm looking and I realized something. That picture was taken at 2:55 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Okay. That picture posted to my Facebook at 3:04. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was driving with my phone in my pocket.
Sure.
People say, must have been a butt dial. Well, you know, I'd have one very talented butt if I could hit all those
that buttons. That would be an interesting one.
So I found that just amazing that this happened. And so I wanted Zach to know, you know. So I reached out, sent him a DM, didn't hear anything. And then my daughter, a few days later, says, you know, like, Dad, they're having a contest to go on to their show. And I thought, what a great opportunity for him to hear about what happened. I just wanted him to have the street credibility, you know?
Yeah.
And I wasn't interested necessarily being on the show. I mean, I'm glad I was. But so I made a little video, 1-minute video, and it's kind of silly, but telling what happened, right?
Yeah.
And submitted it. You know, and then a week later, my daughter comes out because she's watching now for me, right? And she comes out and says, Dad, they posted, you know, the 20 finalists.
Yeah.
So we get in there and we're looking and she scrolls up and I'm not one of them. And we're like, it's okay. You know, I just wanted him to see it, you know,
yeah,
whatnot. And she says, wait a minute, there's only 16 here. And she scrolls over to the side and son of a gun, there's my ugly mother. And we're so excited, right?
Yeah.
Because not because I have a shot to get on the show, because I know now Zach has seen what happened.
Sure.
And it's credibility to his museum. And so the next morning I got a call from Corey Lyon, the executive producer, saying, hey, you won the show. You're coming to investigate.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you this, because we're real short on time, I see. But Zach put me, and this didn't make the episode because it just didn't follow the narrative, but Zach put me in the room with his Dybbuk box for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
In the pitch dark. And I'll just tell you that not once, but twice, I guess I sort of met the thing that's attached to that box. And to describe it, it filled me with this very low frequency energy, which Katie Stafford later told me, no, it's a very high frequency energy. I said, okay. You know more about that stuff than me. Mm-hmm. But it filled me, and I could tell something was just kind of checking me up and down, just checking me out. And then it moved on, and I hollered into the camera, it's here, blah, 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 blah. And Zach comes busting in, and he's all excited. And then he, you know, wow, this is great. Turns the light on. I'll tell you what. And I told him what happened. And then all of a sudden he turns the light off and closes the door again and off. And then here I go, okay, well, here I am still. And it comes back again. And again, filling me with its energy. And maybe another time I'll tell you about the pinprick that I felt during that experience, like it was messing with me. In my heart. Okay. So
my goodness. No. I would love to hear more about that sometime.
But I believe my motto is never let them see you sweat, because the minute you do, you're putting yourself at risk. So I wouldn't even bring up that happened during that time. During that night. But anyway, then it moves on from me, and I could see in the pitch dark, this big dark figure, shadowy figure, go away and out the other wall. And I yelled again. He came in. I just told him, I saw it. It's a big hoss. Mm-hmm. And he's freaking out, you know. Again. And that was the end of that experience. But what I want to say is what I came across that night was a monster, but it was also very majestic, and it was far better than me. Mm-hmm. And in what it is, far better than me. And it, and the only reason I believe that it even bothered to check me out, it's because I'm already kind of connected there. I've been there since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, that they kind of already know me. And so that's why it came. And it spent the extra time checking me out. Like it was familiar with me. And that's speculation. Okay. I don't really know, but that's just kind of what I get, pick up from it. I'm thinking, but the experience itself was fantastic. And there were a lot of other things that happened that night. That's just one. That was one personal experience. And again, you know, it's all on camera, you know, somewhere. They didn't use the footage because I think they only had one camera. Maybe they didn't get anything that good. But anyway, that was an amazing place. So, and I've been back, I think I've been back twice. And I'm going to go back again. Sort of a pilgrimage there. And I feel like I'm called there, to be honest with you, which is kind of strange. But yeah, I feel like there's a place for me.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Greg Ludwig. A big thank you to him for joining us on the show today. And thank you to you for supporting us and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without it. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.